Now, please turn with me to the scriptures. We will be reading from a familiar passage today, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. And this is the word of God. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Today, we are blessed to have Pastor Suhanri speak to us from the passage we have just read. May we open our hearts to receive from his message titled, Stepping Down to Lift Others Up, the Heart of Christ in Service. Pastor Suhanri, please.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ.
Good morning.
Glad to be back here. If I'm not wrong, this is the first time I speak here for this year. After January, you see the picture of a heart in front. January 8th, I had an open heart surgery. I think that's why Pastor John don't dare to touch me for this one. So, thank God, by God's grace, it's not that I have a new heart, the heart is still old, but the heart is repaired. I am able to stand here and speak to you. Praise God for that.
Communicate to one another, to communicate to the younger ones. It is going to be very difficult. It is going to be very difficult to pass on the message that you are communicating. When we want to communicate with the people, the younger persons, sometimes it's important to pay attention to eye level. Do you communicate to them as equal? And what kind of language, what kind of vocabularies you use? What kind of tone you use? And also the cultural sensitivity. Because if you do not understand that, well, you may end up conveying a lot, but none of it is received and go to the heart. Cultural sensitivity particularly is important. This past 1 week, I went to one of the MOM collaboration to teach at a shelter among domestic workers. There are Indonesian domestic workers, Myanmar, Filipino, and Indian. While I tried to be very friendly with them, I noticed that one particular group do not pay attention when I am very friendly with them. There are certain cultural group that prefer you to talking them in a top-down manner. So when I'm friendly, the other three groups listen. The one that appreciate power find that I don't need to be respected. So you have to know the cultural sensitivity. Then we feedback to the MOM, you have to separate different countries for this kind of thing because no one size fits all formula. Why do we need to go to the extra extent in order to convey the message to these people, to the younger people? Because we care for them, because we love them, and because we want them to grow and improve. Otherwise, you'll be some of the teachers or parents who the focus is just regurgitate out all that you want to say without touching the lives. Is that what you want as a parent to the younger children? Is that what you want when you do ministry to the people? You don't want that. So we have to adjust in order to convey our message to them. Now, God loves us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, so that those who love Him will not perish but get eternal life." God loves us not just from the book of John, but right from the beginning. From the moment God created the world, from Adam and Eve, after they failed Him, God provided ways to reconcile the people back. And God tried to reach us through His prophets, sending out His agents to get the people back to Him. But unfortunately, after sending tons and tons of prophets, the job still not done. Finally, 2,000 years ago, the reason why we are celebrating Christmas this time around, God sent His own Son for us. So this Christmas, let us learn not just about the importance and the value of the gift of Christmas, that is Jesus Christ on the cross who died for us, but also about how to pass this gift of Christmas to those around us, particularly to those who serve us. Let us come to the Lord and pray and prepare our hearts. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You. We give thanks. We give thanks for Jesus who came and died on the cross to reconcile us back to You. Jesus, help us to appreciate Your gifts, but not just by keeping You in us, but also by sharing You with others, particularly those who are marginalized, who serve us, who really need our care and love, and Your care and Your love. Help us, Lord. Speak as Your servant, convey Your message. May my words be glorifying to You and edifying to the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Ruth, for reading the verse earlier on. You can keep it in your phone or in your Bible, physical Bible, Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8. Let me read it one more time. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance of a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus in the Bible is the ultimate picture of servant and Savior. In the four verses that we read, in summary, you can see that He, by nature, is God. Being God, He stepped down, came down to earth as human, He can choose to come down to earth as a prince, a rich man's son, but he did not. He came down to earth as a carpenter's boy. He humbled himself. He served us. He served us to the point that he has to suffer death for us. And if dying for us is not enough, the style, the manner in which he died is one of the most insulting and humiliating at that point of time, dying on the cross. Today, in these four verses, what I want to convey to you is these three parts: the mind of Christ, the action of Christ, and the sacrifice of Christ. The mind of Christ, it is a call to humility. It is a call for us to humble down ourselves. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Brothers and sisters, in our relationship with one another, do we boast to be better? Stay as who we are, or try to consider others to be better than ourselves? Depending on where you come from, culturally, you may portray yourself differently. Where I come from, when you achieve something and people praise you, normally what we say, it's okay, it's nothing. We try to press it down. But in certain other culture that you probably already know, even though they achieve not much, but they will make it sound very, very good. Especially when you start working or you realize that your bosses are like that. They talk big. But the one who do the dirty job is you. But the way that they talk big sounds so good because they are very articulate in their words. Am I right? Do you remember this story of the tiger and the fox? It's a very classic Chinese fable. Hu jia hu wei. This is a story where when the tiger caught a fox and wanted to eat the fox, then the fox said that, "Don't eat me, I'm a very important person." Then the tiger believed in the fox and or want to see how he proved himself. Then the fox said, "Okay, if you don't believe that I'm a great person, you come together with me and see how the people, the animals of the jungle or forest run away before me." Then the fox walked before the tiger, and true enough, all the animals run away before him. But it's not because he is great, but because the tiger behind him is scary. In our dealing with people today, sometimes we are like that, you know. We use other people's credit, badge, or status to boast our presence. Whereas in this story, the tiger is the one being fooled. In real life, it's the other people that we are trying to fool. Am I right? But is that humble? That is not humble. That is cheating and that's boastful. We have to remember Jesus. Even though he is God, he came down not in Mount E Hospital, Mount E Novena. He came down, he was born on the stable. Have you visited a farm before? If you visited a farm before, you know how smelly a farm is. There is not a choice for you to give birth. Okay? Hygiene, sanitation. Jesus came down, humble birth. And Jesus ended his term on earth dying a humiliating death. How about us? Imagine one day you board your SQ flight, if you fly SQ and have an first class ticket or business class ticket. You sit on your seats and you expect to be treated like a first class passenger or business class passenger. Am I right? I have the right to demand for this, demand for that. Jesus is like the first class passenger who chose perhaps to give up his seat and maybe for a pregnant lady or whoever, then he chose an economy seat. But we will say that, no, I will not give up my seat. I have paid the price. It is only right for me to sit at the seat that I am paying for. Why should I give up my seat for others? Jesus' mind is not like that. He came down. He stepped down. He served us. Singapore is a home to people from more than 100 countries. The last data I heard is about 105 or 110 countries you can find in Singapore. How do we relate to them? I'm sure you will treat your boss with respect if they are expats. But how about others that we perceive to be of lesser status? The Bangladeshi workers who sleep on our void deck, the domestic workers who serve in our household. I have a friend who employs Indonesian domestic helpers to take care of the mother when she was dying. And she told me, I thank you for your Indonesia, for the helpers to take care of my mother at his dying moments, for the months, to take care of them. But in reality, how do we treat those who serve us? Do we treat them with equal respect, or do we treat them as subhuman? It may sound very harsh, but in reality, many employers are simply barking at the helpers, don't call them names, and ask them to sit and eat on the floor as if they are no better than their animals. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is calling us to be humble. True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. When we deal with those people who serve us and those people who receive salary from us, do we think as Jesus, seeing them as souls needing saving? Or do we think about how to make our every dollar well spent? Like sugar cane that you crush and crush and crush until you cannot extract any more juice out. Do we treat them as a mission field that God has placed in our household or our neighborhood for us to show the love of Christ? Or do we totally disregard them as a human being? I urge all of us in this Christmas period to spend some time to think about development of Singapore. I know there are people who don't really like the influx of foreigners and keep on saying that there are too many foreigners among us. That is true, you know. But you have to think of it another way. Without the foreigners to sweep the street, the roads, without the foreigners to do the essential work, to do the building, are Singaporeans going to do the building? Are you going to clear the rubbish? Number two, the action of Christ, a willingness to serve. Now, having a mind to understand or to feel compassion for these people that God has placed among us is important. But if you stop at having the mind without translating it to real action, it's nothing. Philippians 2:6-7, verse 7. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He truly came down to see what is happening, to experience what we are experiencing, to suffer like a human being, to know what is pain like, what is sadness. Jesus wept. When we are dealing with one another, we realize that there are people who are more focused in idea. There are people who are focused in talking about processes, but, you know, one is talking about idea, the other one talking about how to get it done, but never get it done. There are people who likes to do things, but without thinking, or no process, cut corner perhaps. There are some people who focus on people. So when they want to do something, they care for the people first and they end up talking to people, caring for people, nothing gets done. And there are blend, which is a combination of different proportion of the four. And no one is absolutely one type of people. But what I'm saying is this. Having the mind and understanding the humility that Christ wants us to understand is important. But it is nothing if it does not translate down to real action. Jesus did not stop at the idea. He came down, he served as a carpenter, maybe learned from the father, Joseph. And when he is of age, he started to teach. And he really carried out his mission. He died on the cross. He worked as a carpenter. He washed the disciples' feet. He died on the cross for us. He did not choose to come down as Herod's son, who is one of the ultimate rulers during that time, or Caesar's son. No. He came down as a commoner, carpenter's son, and died on the cross for us. When we see and pay attention to those people working among us, working for us, what are some practical actions that we can do to bless them, to touch their lives? This picture is taken from my house about 2-3 days ago. They are repainting the facade of the HDB. This is a very dangerous job, you know. Anything happen, that's the last 3 seconds of your life. My son say, we can pass drinks to them as they come to our level. Some Singaporeans, they do that, which is, by the way, very much appreciated. You know how hot Singapore can be, right? It is not too insulting, brothers and sisters, for you to step down from where you are now, regardless of your position in your company, to go and serve those people who are in need. Grace Church, we have this ministry called SAM, which is South Asian Migrant Care Ministry, where we go down fortnightly to care for the migrant workers. Some of you may think that it is too far or it is beneath me to go down to serve them. But Jesus is God. Between God and man, the gap is even wider than us, even if we are CEO of our company, to go down to serve the migrant workers who are injured and in need. This is something that you can do. Teaching Mandarin to migrants. On top is the collaboration I have with a church called New Life Church in Paya Lebar, where we get the domestic workers who are free on Sunday afternoon to come together to learn Mandarin speaking. And at bottom, there is the MOM shelter, where these are the group of escaped domestic workers, escaped, run away from the house because of certain reason. They went to the police, they went to the immigration, and they have some cases pending. Before their cases are settled, they are being put in the shelter and nothing much to do. So we go down, we teach them Mandarin. Teaching Mandarin to them, is it too low for us to consider? Or teaching English, or teaching computer, or teaching how to sew, how to cook? There are a lot of ministry opportunities among migrant workers. We consider them. They leave their homes. A lot of them they feel isolated, vulnerable, and exploited. But by following Jesus' example, we can serve them in ways that meet not only their physical needs, but also touching on their spiritual needs. The question is, are we willing? Are we willing? The third point, the sacrifice of Christ. It is a call to obedience and ultimately suffering. Being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus did not just do the bare minimum. Sometimes we have kind-hearted Christians in the church say, "Pastor, I know that you are doing something good. I want to help. I will pray for you." Very important. Some say, "Pastor, how much do you need? I can contribute." That is also important. We need money to run ministry. But actually, what we needed the most is prayer is definitely one of the top important ones. Not just money, you know. Money is one of the easiest. But what we need more is the human resource. That is, we want your participation. Jesus did not just send money, did not just send his blessing, did not just send his reign. He came down and he gave it all for us, himself for us. When we go for mission trip, sometimes we like to say, "Okay, Pastor, they are in need. Tell me how much they need. They need toilet. I give for the toilet. I give for what?" Touch and go. Of course, the resource that you give is important, but they need people to be among them, to live with them, to touch their life, to share with them the love of Christ. Only then you understand what this means by sacrifice and suffering. Otherwise, you are just sitting at the back seat, enjoying your cushioned sofa, enjoying your aircon room, just giving out at your convenience. 2 Samuel 24, verse 24 says this, "But the king replied to Arauna, 'No, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing.' So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them." This is the account when David was looking for a piece of land. And the owner said, "I give it to you lah, since you are the king." Then David said, "Cannot, cannot. If you give it to me for free, that means I sacrifice nothing." So brothers and sisters, when we do God's ministry and it costs you nothing, even though the people may have feel something, that is not sacrifice and you don't suffer for it. I don't mean that you have to suffer pain, lah, but sometimes when you give, do you give out of your abundance or do you give out of your limitation? I think God honors when you give out of your limitation more. Pastors, we are called servant of God. The word in front is servant, very low. The word behind is of God, very high. So when we say that we are servant of God, sometimes we expect to be served instead of serving people. Right or not, Pastor John? Yeah, cannot see his face, he's wearing mask. But in certain churches, I think our pastors here are very humble. In certain churches, the pastor or the senior pastor will expect to be treated very, very well, like VIP, you roll up the red carpet and things like that. So the word servant of God in Indonesian, hamba Tuhan or slave of God, is just look humble, but it is not humble at all. We have to ask ourselves, am I willing to carry the cross like Christ did? Or do I only want to enjoy sitting on the thrones, like some churches say that we are prince of the high king, we are princes and princesses of the high king, so we should live like king, we should enjoy our life, do not need to suffer. This is a program that I just launched recently, working with different people. And this is my friend, they start up this website called servantministry.org. I call it Pastor to Mate Initiative. It has double meaning. Calling pastors to serve the mates and calling pastors to serve as mate. You hear it right. Calling pastors to serve as mate. Why? There are about 100,000 Indonesian domestic workers in Singapore, 300,000 in Hong Kong, 300,000 in Taiwan. There are about 600 churches in Singapore. But how many are actually reaching out to the domestic workers? Not much, not many. Why? To hire a pastor from Indonesia to come to do domestic worker ministry, you need about maybe $4,000 a month to pay for the basic salary under S-Pass with all the taxes. And if you have 10 to 20 domestic workers to come regularly, that's already a good size. But your financial controller will say to you, not balanced, because the 10 to 20 domestic workers cannot give offering to cover the $4,000 a month. So how do we cater for the needs of domestic worker ministry in Singapore? How? What I'm doing now is that trying to collaborate with seminaries in Indonesia that they will challenge their seminary students and graduates, female ones of course, to come to Singapore not as pastor, but as domestic workers. As domestic workers. Working in my house Monday to Saturday as my maid to cook for me, to take care of my children for me, but Sunday I free you to go to the church, to come to Grace Church to serve as volunteer. Remember, we cannot violate MOM law, right? So, a volunteer who worship among us and able to lead the ministry. So, pastor will say that, okay, can you help me to lead my domestic worker ministry? I give you a love gift of maybe $100 per session. That way, the pastor mate is serving in a volunteer capacity. The love gift we give them do not violate the MOM law. And instead of paying $4,000 a month for a domestic worker pastor, now I pay maybe $400 a month for one volunteer. And that way, we may be able to cater for the needs of domestic worker ministry in Singapore. I already talked to a few seminaries in Indonesia, and they are willing. And I already have two maid agencies who are working with me, opening the channel for it. I need employers. I need employers who are willing to employ them. And I do not need you to become a domestic worker like them. No, I don't need you to. But I need you to free them on their Sunday, because many Singaporeans, including myself, sometimes say that, oh, this Sunday you cannot offer. This Sunday you have to take care because we are traveling overseas, so this Sunday you cannot off. Like that, then my pastor mate cannot go to the church. So we have to sign an MOU with the employers to say that I guarantee this mate will be able to go to the church on Sunday. Then the church that is working together with me can get them to lead the domestic worker ministry. I already have maybe 3 or 4 churches waiting for me to supply the pastor mate. So this is the opportunity and challenge. And if we do it well in Singapore, I am going to replicate this model in Hong Kong and in Taiwan, which have an even bigger group of domestic workers from Indonesia. This is what I do. Call the ministries, challenge them, talk to the students. Some of them angry with me, you know. How dare you, graduates from my school, supposed to speak on the pulpit, you ask to change diaper, sweep the floor, and being scolded by household. I told them, if Jesus can come down to serve among us and die on the cross for us, what is it for us to go down to that level in order to win the souls of the domestic workers for him? And this is not a permanent arrangement. I'm asking the seminaries to consider that as a 2 years to 3 years overseas internship as a maid. Afterwards, these ladies will go back to their countries having experienced the humbling, humiliating experience perhaps, at least humbling, not necessarily humiliating, as a maid, really maid. And when they lead their congregation later in the future, they will not speaking as if somebody above the cloud, because the experience, what is it to serve even in the lowest manner? It is a character building experience, winning souls for Christ. This is a calling for churches and employers to open the door that they can be the blessing for the Indonesian diaspora. As the church opened the door to mentor and to guide the pastor mate and work together with the employer to make this happen. Last month, I went to Baptist Theology Seminary in Semarang, in Central Java. So the one on the right, The Indonesian looking one is the principal, and they are now talking about signing an MOU with us for our collaboration. The one on his left, that one is Reverend George Ong. Anyone recognize him? He was one of our missionaries sent out in the year 1978. Grace Church missionary 1978, the year I was born. He is now one of my mentors guiding me for my ministry. He is 84 years old, young, and still actively serving the Lord. So this is the conclusion. Let us follow the example of Christ. Having the mind of Christ, do the action that Christ did, and sacrifice if we can. To have a humble heart when we relate to others. To think of what you can participate next year. We are coming to the year end 2024. Rusen, Brother Chok, tell me, Pastor, nobody volunteer for the SAM ministry. So now I'm calling you to participate in the SAM ministry. Look for him. Don't look for me. And don't just do the bare minimum. Do more to the point of you feel that you are really sacrificing for Christ. And Christ will reward you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We give thanks for this opportunity that we can learn a little bit about Christ's example, stepping down from heaven to serve us, to be with us. We want to not just learn, we want to be aware of the situation around us, especially the needs of the migrant workers. We want to pray that, Lord, you will make use of us here, gathering here, that each of us will try one way or another to serve the migrant workers among us, not necessarily through the same ministry or other ministry that Grace Church has, but in our neighborhood, in our community, how we can do something for them. Not just exploit them as a worker that we have paid, but see them as a mission field that you have put before us. Help us to do more, help us to do better, help us to do so sacrificially, and that they will feel the love and care from us, they will feel the love and care from Christ. I also pray, Lord, for the pastor to make initiative, pray that, Lord, you help that if it is what you want me to achieve with my team, help us so that this can really happen, not for our glory, but for your glory, that Indonesian mates particularly will come to know you through this ministry. Thank you, Lord. We commit all this in Jesus' name. Amen.